Well, good morning. And this is 88.5 KRFY, and you're listening to The Morning Show. We are live here in the studios of our community radio station, Panhandle Community Radio. And this is, as I said, The Morning Show. I'm Susie Prez. I'm going solo today, but I do have a guest in the studio with a very nice smiling face. Good morning, Mandy Evans, Executive Director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter.
Good morning.
Good morning. We're going to talk about, of course, the Panhandle Animal Shelter and everything cats and dogs in just a minute. But first, I think it's always a good idea to hear from the National Weather Service. Currently, it's 53 degrees out. There's about a 50% chance of showers. And that's a good thing. Get the showers out of the way for the festival at Sandpoint to be done with the showers for a while. I'm sure Dinah Wall will appreciate sunny blue skies for the next 4 days coming up on Thursday. High today, 75. Low tonight, 50. High tomorrow, Thursday, and high on Friday as 86 and 90. And lows in the 50s, mid-50s. It looks like there's a little bit of showers possible coming up, but it's only 20% on the weekend. So we're pretty much thinking the wind will just blow those showers right past us. And that's a good thing. Mm-hmm. Mandy, you're here. We're going to talk about the Panhandle Animal Shelter and everything. You know, what's really interesting is there's new listeners all the time at the community radio station here at 88.5 KRFY. And so it's always probably a good thing to just say this, as we were talking before the show, this is such a unique animal shelter. Why don't you tell us, because this is your thing that you live in and work with every day. What's so special about our animal shelter?
I think we have a wonderful team of people, board of directors and community supporters who allow us and empower us to be proactive in what we do at the shelter. We could say, oh, we're just, you know, up here in Sandpoint, so we're not going, we'll just house animals and get homes, but it's not the way we look at it. We look at it as we have a great opportunity to be world class, so why not go for it? Granting organizations and other groups like the ASPCA and University of Wisconsin recently had come out and evaluated the shelter and gave us A pluses for not only the animal care that we provide, but just our fun ideas and ways that we can get into the community and help people and be proactive.
We'll get into some of those fun ideas because there are so many. But let's back up just a moment. You know, when something like the Panhandle Animal Shelter, and as it stands today, it's so awesome and wonderful. But what didn't start out that way. A lot of people contributed to making it. It's constantly evolving, too. How did it come about?
So originally, they created the shelter because there was literally no place for stray animals to go. So they created the shelter out on Great Northern, and it was a kill shelter. So, and you know, that being said, that was a long time ago, and it was a necessity at that time. Nobody knew any different, but it was really a high kill shelter. There were no proactive adoption techniques in order to move those animals into homes quickly. So a group of people came in and converted it to a no-kill shelter. But then in that good effort and positive effort, still it lacked the proactive adoption efforts. When I started there in 2011, we had 100 dogs in-house, 200 cats. And that was almost every single day that we had that number. And a quarter of the dog population had been with us for over 3 years. And we just started reducing the barriers to adoption and encouraging and working with the community to get the animals out and show them off more. So now we house on average about 40 dogs and about 75 cats.
You said that you became involved in 2011. Was that about the time that they had the new shelter housing out there on the cutoff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the shelter actually was built and moved. They moved in 2008, the December of 2008. And it's a very large facility. I actually have a twin sister who runs an animal shelter in the Bay Area, and her shelter is, I think, less than 5,000 square feet, and ours is, what, 28,000 square feet? So it's a very, very large facility, especially for the community that we're in.
It really makes a difference with the work that you're trying to do and the philosophy that supports the humane care of animals.
Absolutely.
To have that kind of a facility that is so large and so functional.
Yes, for sure. Yeah.
And so how did we fortunately get such a beautiful building and facility out there? How did that come about? Did the funding come from?
There's generous donors, the Pences, who decided that it was time to make a significant change for the animals in our community and put the capital out there, which is amazing because normally it takes a shelter or any organization about 5 years to run a whole capital campaign in order to build something of that size. And they just did it out of their generosity and goodness.
And there we are with that beautiful facility. And hooked to it is the thrift store.
Yes.
And it just expanded, too.
It did. We just expanded the thrift store, and we moved all of our sorting off-site. So the whole area there is now, it's 5,000 square feet of wonderful shopping experience. And then just around the corner, we have our sorting facility. People can still drop their donations off at the store. We have a truck there to pick them up. But we did make a change also starting August 1st that we will not be receiving donations on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So no receiving area for your gently used goods on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. It was the two slowest days that we have, but we are so supported. I mean, it's absolutely one of the best problems to have because the community supports us so much that we have literally too many donations that we're not able to process them in a timely manner. And we know that when people provide us with their items, they are providing them so they're on the floor making money for the animals, not sitting in our sorting facility waiting to be gone through.
So a little break on Tuesday and Wednesdays. We'll get back to funding because that's always going to be an issue. And as executive director, Mandy, you know that that's your go-to anytime project.
Yes,
funding.
For sure.
But, you know, it would be fun at this point. I just want to remind our listeners, this is 88.5 KRFY. This is The Morning Show. And I'm Susie Prez. We're here in the studio with Mandy Evans, executive director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter, our very favorite place if you like animals. There's some really cool programs right now.
Oh, yeah.
Programs and fun events going on. And that's another unique aspect of our shelter here in our North Idaho area. So what would you like to tell us about?
Well, and you had mentioned that if you like animals, and that's one of the, I think that our organization supports people as much as we support animals. Our mission is really around dogs and cats, but we believe that in order to create and have a healthy human-animal bond, you have to support both ends. You can't just support animals. So right now, we actually are starting a new reading program in our cat rooms. So kids that are of reading age can go grab a book. We have them in the cat lobby and go in with the cats and read them a book. And you can keep track of it when you've read, I believe it's 18 books or 18 times. You get a $5 gift certificate to the thrift store. Just to try to encourage reading. And then the cats love it. Just to have a person in the room with them, they can crawl all over the children. And the parents, they come in there and hang out as well.
I think it's a photo opportunity.
For sure.
People could come in there and just do a whole photo shoot of the kids reading to the cats.
Yes.
Oh, that is sweet. And like you said, the cats love it. I think they love the attention and the sound of a human voice. What else?
So last year we saw that there was a significant increase in our owner surrenders. So we started talking about how we can kind of curve that. What can we do to help people? Because most of the time, I know that there are some negative perceptions around people giving up their pets. But most of the time, these people are devastated. I have my office close to the intake area and witnessed a woman laying on the floor, crying, hugging her dog because she didn't want to make that decision. So what we've tried to do is create two new programs to help that process go a little smoother. The first one is, it's called Home to Home, and the website is home-home.org. And what it is an opportunity that if you need to rehome your pet, you can feature your pet, do a profile, and then we will post that profile on our Facebook page. We have over 8,000 followers that go all throughout the region. So we'll advertise basically for you, and then we'll monitor the site to ensure that it's people are, you know, being honest and upfront. In addition, we don't want any money exchanging hands. So we don't want this to be an opportunity for people to sell animals, but to be really careful about making sure that the home that their pet is going to go into is the right home for them. Going into the shelter, as much as we like to believe that it isn't a stressful environment, it is. It's not a home. If we can help people facilitate their pet going into a direct home, then we're positively serving the owner and the animal.
Well, you can imagine if you were, as you say, most pet owners who have to give up their animals for various reasons, we could talk about that in a minute, have to do that. It's devastating.
Yes.
And if they don't have to take them and just drop them off somewhere, but can actually meet the new owners.
Yes.
And bond with them a little bit. I mean, that's emotional, and that's probably good for the pet and both parties, the human parties.
Absolutely. And sometimes people do have some lag time in between. Let's say they're moving, which I have to say is the number one reason that people will end up surrendering, because a landlord won't allow the pet, or they have to move out of state to an area where they're not permitted to have that dog or cat. And if they have time, this is an opportunity to feature their pet, see if it will work. And if it doesn't, we will always be there to help them and bring their dog or cat in.
It's a different kind of world now. People really are moving a lot for jobs and for various reasons to go and be closer to family or whatever. And
yeah.
So that does become a bigger issue than in the old days. People never moved.
Right.
They stayed in one place for 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's a lot different now. So you have the Home to Home, and that website is home-home.org.
Yes, and we're actually launching it today. So if you're listening and you want to go on there, I believe there's a couple shelter animals as holding places. But the nice thing, too, is if you're searching for a pet, you can go onto the site and you'll be able to see those posts as well.
Is that mostly dogs, do you think?
Oh, no.
No.
And it's dogs, cats, and other animals. So
okay.
It could be other things, even though we in the shelter will only take in dogs and cats. And it's also regional, or it's not really regional. It can be anywhere. Anyone can use the website. It's not directed just for our area, and it's free to use. I do believe we have a donate button on there. And that is obviously, as Susie said, a really important part of what we do is all of these things that we provide to the community are primarily free or at a very reduced fee. And those donations make a huge difference in our efficiency to be able to get these animals into homes.
Lots more to talk about.
Yes.
We could take a little break and hear a song. There's a lot of songs I queued up today because dogs and cats, there's a lot of songs about dogs and cats. We're going to hear Elvis Presley, Hound Dog. Since, Mandy, you mentioned that.
Nice.
We are listening. This is 88.5 KRFY. This is listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. This is the morning show on this Wednesday, August 3rd. And Mandy Evans is here from the Panhandle Animal Shelter. We're going to get back to that subject of cats and dogs in our community. But first, this is Elvis Presley, Hound Dog. We'll be right back. And that was Elvis Presley, Hound Dog. This is 88.5 KRFY. This is the morning show, and I'm Susie Prez in the studio live with Mandy Evans, Executive Director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter. We're talking about our most awesome animal shelter here in North Idaho. Trying to think of another word besides awesome, Mandy, but it's pretty spectacular. Maybe that's a good word. It's kind of outstanding in the nation, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah, I mean, we've been recognized on ASPCA Pro.
What's ASPCA Pro?
ASPCA Animal, or, I don't know.
ASPCA.
I don't know. I'm so used to just saying it. They are a advocacy group for animals in the nation.
Oh, that's great.
Actually, in the world. They do a lot of work in the world. And I have to correct what I said before. We actually have over 9,000 followers on our Facebook page. So that is good. Your dogs and cats that you need to rehome have a very large audience.
That's bigger than our community. So we were talking about Home to Home. That's one of the new projects or new programs, we'll call it, at the shelter that really is looking at different ways of doing things to enhance the success of adoption and the experience of the animal and the human adoptee or adoptor.
Right.
And there's another program you mentioned, Helpline.
So along those lines with the Home to Home was actually created as a tool for the Helpline to use. I should mention the Home to Home was funded by a trust handled with Columbia Bank. And then also the Helpline was funded by the Inland Northwest Community Foundation and Equinox Foundation, plus Petco Foundation. And what's nice is that two community organizations believed in this program enough to provide us with funding to make it a success. It always means a lot to me when we're able to get that local funding and support. But the Helpline is, so when people need to surrender, they call up and they say, oh, I'm going to bring my dog or cat in. And our response has always been, oh, I'm sorry to hear that that's what you need to do. Yeah, we're here from noon to 5:30. Come on in. And it's changing the conversation to say in a very non-judgmental way, you know, is there anything that we can do? Talk to me a little bit about what's going on. Or when they have to return a dog or a cat from adoption. Just last year, we had a family who their dogs were frequent flyers, as we say. They kept coming into the shelter. And so finally, I went out there and just had a conversation with them. And it ended up that during one of the snowstorms, the tree in the backyard had bent over and the dogs were cleverly climbing the tree and jumping over the fence. And I said, can we send somebody to your house and we'll help you trim the tree? So it's that kind of thing. It's where people feel like they are stuck. They don't have any further options. They're unsure of what their options are. And they really, truly believe that their best option is to bring that pet into us. That's another conversation changer for the community and really in the humane world that we're trying to change, is this idea that the best place to bring your pet is a shelter, or if you need, you adopt and you need to return the dog or cat, that the best place is to bring it back to the shelter. And you hear it frequently. Really, is it the best place? Or if you've had that dog for a year, 10 years, would it be better to look at your friends and family first? Would it be better to try to do a direct rehoming rather than having to bring your pet into an animal shelter? And that's where we're coming from, is how can we counsel people in order to help them understand what their options are? If you've had a cat for 10 years and all of a sudden the cat's peeing everywhere and you're so frustrated, you've had it, you're done, and you call us, well, have you taken your cat to the vet? Maybe he has a urinary tract infection. And if they don't have the funds to do that, we have the funds to be able to, through the grants, provide that veterinary care for the cat. Same with training, behavior. We have a veterinarian on board that will answer phone calls and a behavior. She's actually a veterinarian who specializes in behavior, who could answer questions on behavior that's happening in the home. So we're really trying to just be proactive. How can we help our community keep their pets, because their pets are the best with them?
you have a helpline. You just explained that it really is, again, proactively looking at some of the problems that you've come across over the years and helping owners problem solve and have other options that might be better for everyone involved, including the animal. What is that number?
It's actually our phone number. It's 208-265-7297.
Okay.
And then it's option number 3.
Is that hosted or facilitated by a live person on the other end? Is
yes.
That, is that where the expense comes from? You had to hire
We had to hire people. An additional person. Mm-hmm. And the idea is that we're going to have this person on for 1 year, capture a lot of data. Why are people surrendering their pets? What's the number one reasons? What can we do to help people? And then train the front desk staff to be more proactive in their answering of the phone. And hopefully we will not need this off-site helpline after that.
Mm-hmm. I was just talking to a woman yesterday who has to move from here to California and had 2 dogs and a cat.
That's a lot.
I think she received help from from Panhandle Animal Shelter to problem solve how to best do that. She loved her animals. She was very sad. 2 of them went to family members.
Oh, good.
And she felt so relieved because she can still go visit. But the new place she's going to, as you said, often doesn't have the ability to have the animal there. So,
and there are some crazy things that we can do, really, like out of the box things that people wouldn't even consider. We had a woman come in who she had just moved and her landlord said, "Your dog's a pit bull. And here's your contract. You can't have a pit bull." Well, this dog was a mix of something, but we offered to DNA test the dog for her to prove that, you know, the dog was not a pit bull. And so there's just some ways that we can help people. We do have a woman right now who's basically homeless in Sandpoint because she refuses to give up her pit bull. Sweet little thing. Very meek pit bull, and no one will rent to her. So if there's anybody out there listening that is accepting of pit bulls and wants to help a woman and her children keep their pet in the home with them, you can give us a call, 265-7297, and you can ask for Mandy, and I can help facilitate that.
Mm-hmm. Be part of the solution.
Yes.
You know, just for a moment, I just want to remind our listeners, this is The Morning Show, and we're here with Mandy Evans from the Panhandle Animal Shelter. Let's just for a moment talk about pit bulls, because that, to me, there's probably a lot of misconception.
Yes.
I have probably one of the biggest misconceptions. I'm a little bit afraid of them. I see them coming down the street, and I move away. But the owners love their pit bulls. And some people, that's the only dog they want.
Oh, yeah.
What's the attraction, first of all, for someone to have a pit bull? And do they have a bad name?
Oh, goodness, yes. I mean, we get a lot of them. Pit bull is really just a mix, right? The American Staffordshire is the actual name of the breed. And pit bull is a mixture that has created this dog. And we get, there's a great amount of mixes in our area, but sometimes they're boxers, sometimes they're mastiffs, and mislabeled. So at our shelter, we have a no breed labeling policy. So if you come in and it says breed on the kennel card, it will say unknown, because most of the dogs we get in will be strays, and your guess is as good as ours. We don't know what the dog is, but people... they're sweet, really, really sweet dogs, and they can be wonderful. They're considered nanny dogs. So then they used to be the symbol of the United States, and now it has become more about the fighting rings and all of that. But we don't see, at least in our area, any of the dog fighting in Spokane. They know they do. So there is just, you know, you have to look at them as individual animals, not their breed. It's really about the individual.
Misconceptions all the way around.
Yes.
Yeah. So what you're saying is, if I see this dog coming down the street, it's probably not a pit bull. But even if it was, they're basically gentle animals.
Oh, yeah. So, and realistically, yes. And mm-hmm. I mean, shepherds, we get shepherds in, and I'm talking about all different kinds, herding shepherds to German shepherds to, and they can be just as much as, you know, little nippers as pit bulls are. It's really, truly about the owner. And also, I want to, I'm getting this out there as my public service announcement. If you have a dog between the age of 1 and 2, and they are aggressive towards other dogs or non-social with people, correct it then between 1 and 2. 2 is when we see the number one age of owner surrenders due to some kind of aggression is 2 years old. And it's when that behavior really solidifies. You can make a huge difference in your dog by providing that preventative training between the age of 1 and 2. And that's hopefully we will be able to start doing that in the near future at the shelter. But it's very important age. Most people look at training as, you know, from puppy to 1, and then they don't do it anymore. But getting your dog out, socializing your dog, allowing it to play, but knowing they need to have appropriate behavior just like we do with the social setting. Smelling the rear ends, totally normal. Even mounting can be somewhat normal. It's all in their pecking order. They have to figure that out. But between 1 and 2, if you see those behaviors, correct them.
When you say correct them, I think that leads to the question of a lot of people don't really know how to have boundaries for a dog in an appropriate way.
Yeah.
I have friends that have taken their dogs to training, and it's real different than you think. So another project, Mandy,
I know.
Having training available and maybe in groups or, but what you're saying is age 1 to 2 is where that preventative early training really needs to be focused on.
Yes.
You don't want a dog that's a barker.
No, and I think that in the world we're in right now, everybody is so busy. And so these dogs are staying home alone. They're not getting out to be with other dogs as much. And it really is significantly important. One of the ways that you can get your dog socialized is by coming out to our Yappy Hours. It's basically a free dog socialization from 4 to 7 on the last Thursday of the month. The next one is on August 25th at Evans Brothers Coffee from 4 to 7. And then the last one for the season will be at Eichhardt's in September. I do not know the exact date, but it is the last Thursday of the month. It is also the day that we will be choosing our ambassador.
So that is in September.
Yes. We're looking at a calendar right now, the 29th. Is that right?
If it's the last Thursday?
Yes.
29th.
So September 29th at Eichhardt's.
And how do you have a yappy hour at Eichhardt's? There's no grass. Last time I went to one, it was at Pine Street Bakery. And there's huge yards. There's a lot of dogs there.
Yes. And the one at Evans Brothers is probably the largest space we have. And it's all on the concrete. But the dogs don't care. They go out and they're having a ball. The one at Eichhardt's is actually behind Eichhardt's, right behind the bank or next
to the
bank.
Okay, in that parking lot behind.
Yes.
Okay, and
yes.
They set up an outdoor recreation area for the people and the dogs.
And I don't know what Jeff does. I don't know if he sprinkles catnip around or what, but the dogs get crazy at that event. All the owners are on the perimeter and the dogs are running around in circles. It's a fun one.
So we have Yappy Hour. And it's a time to socialize the dogs, but it's also a fundraiser. Is
it
that correct?
It is, yeah. And we charge, normally the locations will charge for beer or alcohol or some kind of alcohol, beer or wine. And then they donate the proceeds back to the shelter. We just had our Yappy Hour in July at Trinity at City Beach, and it was phenomenal. It's one of my favorites because the dogs always seem to escape and run into the water. But Justin, the owner of Trinity, really is such a huge supporter in our community, and he did a great layout. He always brings out food and has a tent and tables for everybody. It was a really very, very nice event. We're grateful to have such wonderful supporters in our community.
And just to get an idea, what do you typically raise at one of the Yappy Hour events that are on the last Thursday of every month throughout the summer season?
A good one will probably be between 1,000 and 1,500.
That can add up. That's significant.
Yes. Oh,
could be $10,000 a year.
Yes.
And every penny counts.
Yes,
in this huge project you've got going. I admire your administrative tenacity.
Thank you.
So that's Yappy Hour. It's not only a fundraiser, but it's a time where dogs can socialize. And is there any requirement or suggestion for owners who bring their dogs to Yappy Hour? Should they be a certain... Some dogs are more aggressive.
Yes.
And so what's your kind of criteria?
If we see a dog who is lacking in social skills, so really wanting to be the dominant dog, we'll actually ask the owner to leave with their dog in a very polite way, mm-hmm. because we don't want to see anybody get hurt and no dog fights. But for the most part, we want dogs that, you know, can mingle without their owner off leash, ideally. Leashes can cause some problems and can, you know, handle themselves, really. The one thing that we have actually asked people to leave is when they have a puppy and the puppy squeals really loudly. That's a prey call, and can cause some issues. So if you have a dog that tends to do that, I would not bring your dog. I would not bring your dog if it is in heat, or really there are dogs that are unaltered there, but ideally we like to see them altered.
Mm-hmm.
It makes for a more pleasant event.
We're talking about Yappy Hour, one of the programs, fundraisers and programs to enhance the life of a dog and owner.
Yeah,
it's called Yappy Hour.
Again, that human-animal bond. I mean, if you can get out, and a lot of people, I mean, therapists will say that people will not leave their house, and they get a dog, and it gives them a purpose, a reason to leave and go for a walk or do something, because it's not about them anymore. It's mm-hmm. about this other being. And so Yappy Hour is about the person as much as it is about the dog.
The one I went to at Pine Street Bakery, the Yappy Hour, it must have been the month before,
last month.
In May. Well, it was fun to just, I don't have a dog or a cat, and it was fun to just kind of sit back. I was there with another dog owner of BB, actually, who is one of the ambassador dogs, but we'll get to that in a minute. But it was fun to sit back and watch the interactions. The dogs were like in their own little world. They're watching each other. The owners just kind of sit there and socialize with each other, but the dogs were great to watch because that's what I focused on. It's kind of a fun event. So that's one of the...
It is. You don't actually need to have a dog. So I rarely bring my dogs, and I love watching the dogs play and have fun. And Pine Street, actually, I was wrong. Pine Street is in June. So it's generally the same schedule. So we do Laughing Dog in April. May is Taylor & Sons Chevrolet, and then Pine Street Bakery in June. And they, I don't know, there's just certain locations where the dogs have a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take another little musical break. We have a lot more to get to, and I really appreciate your spending the whole hour with me, so to speak, Mandy.
No problem.
From the Panhandle Animal Shelter. We're talking about dogs and cats and the wonderful animal shelter we have in our community, the Panhandle Animal Shelter. We're going to come right back, but right now we're going to hear a song from the Lovin' Spoonfuls. It is called Nashville Cats, appropriately, and we'll be right back. Enjoy the song. And that was the Lovin' Spoonfuls, Nashville Cats. I think that's from 1966. And we're here in the studios. This is 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. This is The Morning Show on August 3rd, Wednesday. And I'm Susie Prez, your solo host today. My co-host, Chris Bessler, is out of town. We'll be back next week. I'm in the studio with Mandy Evans. She's the executive director of the Panhandle Animal Shelter. We've been going over all kinds of things that are going on at our most spectacular animal shelter here in North Idaho. And you have another program that was showcased in the Daily Bee yesterday.
Yes, the Ambassadog.
Tell us all about it.
So we are on the search for Sandpoint's first official ambassador. And this is, you know, we felt like the city needed to have this dogs and cats represented by a good ambassador. And so we're looking for who that dog is going to be through this kind of fund fun fundraiser for the shelter. Ambassadog, you can look up more information by going to sandpointambassadog.com. And what it is you put your dog, you can post your dog on the into the contest. And it has to be, obviously, a Sandpoint local dog, and preferably a dog that gets along well with others and has very good social skills. But this dog will go to yappy hours and will walk in the parade and have some other appearances as our official ambassador.
Well, someone, there's a whole bunch of dogs on that site. I went and looked at all of them one day. It was really fun. Some have, so you can vote. You can sign up to vote for your favorite dog.
Yes, and you can vote for a dog every day. And then so how it works is almost like a raffle. The more votes you have, the more times your dog's name will be in the running to be chosen as one of the top five dogs. So when you first post your dog, there is a suggested donation of $5 to post them on to the into the program. Then you can buy additional posts for a dollar, additional votes for a dollar each. So that way you are, you know, filling the bucket with the dog that you want to win.
So the owners get involved. And how many dogs do you have on the contest?
I think right now there's around 20, if I'm right.
And there they are. They're so cute.
I know. Really nice pictures. Really awesome pictures of the dogs. And then I believe that our mayor, Shelby, is going to do a proclamation for the dog. And it's going to be, it's just really fun. And it's important because for a while, Sandpoint wasn't looked at as a very dog-friendly town. And now that's changing. And dogs are a really big part of people's lives here. And so, again, this creates that, enhances the human-animal bond. Plus, the people that win will get two nights at the Western Pleasure Ranch and with their dog, of course, and then a gift basket that has items like a Trinity at City Beach gift certificate for $50. Easy Dog provides awesome leashes, collars, huge supporter at the shelter. For another $50, and then Winter Ridge will put a gift certificate, Pondere Winery, etc. So it's a really cool package.
Is one of your dogs in Ambassadog?
No, I can't win.
Okay, that makes sense. Part of the group. I just want to give a shout out to my Ambassadog, not my dog personally, but my friend's dog, BB. She is a shelter dog from Kalispell, Montana, and moved to Sandpoint in 2012. And I just want to say that I don't particularly like dogs. I'm a cat person.
Yeah.
But BB has convinced me I like dogs.
Aww.
Because I spend a lot of time with her, and one of her owners is a good friend, or they're both good friends, Steve Anderson and Jean Girth. And she loves people and food. So she's one of those dogs that goes around and looks at the floor a lot. She's looking for scraps of food. So if you drop something, it goes away.
It's like a vacuum.
Yeah, a little vacuum. So BB is in the group.
Well, and Drake is in the group as well. And Drake is the writer of, the reader.
Pause or something.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the Straight Poop from Drake in the reader. And then Winston is a beautiful puppy. And right now the breed is escaping me. I can't think of it. And then there's also a little corgi in there named Chloe that I think is super cute because I love corgis. So it's fun. It's a fun, fun way to kind of highlight your best friend. And you never know. Your dog might win.
Winston is a Newfoundland.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Black.
It's really fun to just go look. It would be really great. Is there going to be an event where they're chosen, the ambassador dog is chosen, and all the dogs are there so you can kind of see?
At Yappy Hour at Eichardt's in September.
That's it. Okay, yeah. So all the dogs will be there. You can come and look, but you can also go on the website, and that is sandpointambassadog.com.
Yes.
And there they are. Cute animals. What was the other one that you liked? It was a little corgi.
Chloe.
Chloe. I want to see Chloe. Anyways, that's another program that really kind of brings dogs into our world. I know that there's a lot of restaurants and grocery stores that allow dogs in, and stores in general.
Yeah.
And that would be called pet friendly.
Yes.
Do they have a sign on the door so you know if you're a pet owner, you can bring them in?
Well, that's what Drake does with the straight poop. So he gives a paw print that you can post on the door of your store, letting people know that it's dog friendly.
Okay. Well, there's another program. And all of these programs are to help support the Panhandle Animal Shelter and really bring animals. You know, when you think about it, pets.
Yes.
People living with animals.
Yes.
In a way that I think is amazing.
Yeah.
You know, where did dogs come from? And and these cats, they have such a different attitude than dogs. They have their own little kind of independent life, but they still love people too.
Yes. And right now, since you're mentioning cats, we have a plethora of kittens. So we are doing a special right now for $20 adoptions. And the adoption covers... they're spayed or neutered. They've been dewormed, vaccinated. They're primarily just ready to go. It's always great to adopt two kittens instead of one so they're not lonely. But really, if you're in the market for a kitten or if you love kittens, you should just come down to the shelter. We open at noon. We're open from Tuesday to Sunday at noon, and Tuesday through Saturday till 5:30 and on Sunday till 4:30. Our hours change. We do winter hours starting in September with the school kids, and we'll close at 4:30 all week. But it's a great opportunity to go in and really have fun with those little baby kittens, and they need homes.
They need to be held too.
Yes.
Because they just really need that touch.
Socialization. Yes.
So you have a lot of kittens. When you say a lot, how many is that about?
Well, I was in there. I have been out on vacation and I went in and we had like six cages in the lobby area that all had litters of kittens. And then all of the rooms were full. So each room holds, I think, six cats. So we're looking at maybe 60 cats.
That's quite a few.
Yeah,
and right now there's a special on cats, $20. And they're complete spayed and neutered, all fixed up and ready to go. When someone comes in to get an animal, you know, to adopt from at the shelter, do they have any kind of lesson? Say they've never had an animal before. Are there any kind of tutorials?
Well, we'll talk to them if they have specific questions, and then we're always there to answer phone calls if people have questions as well. Mm-hmm. So we really want to make the experience a positive one and have that animal stick into the home. A couple other things I want to get in is we have really embraced this idea of working with and collaborating, partnering with our community members. So this last year, we have altered, I would say, about 250 feral cats. And normally in a shelter environment, that is a team of volunteers who are out there trained, and they go into each colony and they're trapping. But what we've done is work with our community members who might have a colony at their home, train them on how to trap. And so these community members are becoming, you know, expert cat trappers, and they trap the cat. We set them up with a veterinarian. They go in and they get the cats fixed. So we've made a huge effort in altering these feral cats in our community. And in addition to that, we actually have increased our foster homes. So when the University of Wisconsin came in and evaluated our shelter last year, they said that we were housing too many cats at once, which leads to disease and illness. So we now have a wait list almost all the time on the cats coming in. So this year we have, through some proactive measures, we have been able to turn our foster, we've increased probably three times as many foster families as we've had before. And all of them have these litters of kittens in their homes. But then we have empowered them to be able to adopt right out of the home. So these kittens never come into the shelter. The people come in, they'll fill out paperwork, We microchip, vaccinate, and get them altered all beforehand. And then they go right from the adoptive home into a, or excuse me, right from a foster home into the adoptive home. So it's, again, helping animals stay out of the shelter but find new great homes.
Excellent program. When you're talking about the feral cat program, the reason for that is when there's feral cats, there's no altering. In other words, they can have more and more and more babies, constantly kittens, and that just contributes to problems. And
yes.
What is some of the bigger problems of large colonies of feral cats in town? Is it disease?
Well, when you have a large colony, they're mostly just a nuisance to people. They're, you know, going to the bathroom in their garden beds and walking on their cars. And I say walking on their cars because everybody knows that nobody really washes their cars in Sandpoint. And when you go and you actually wash your car and the next day you get up and there's little foot marks all over it. But it's expensive to people who are trying to care for those colonies. And the only way to really reduce that is by fixing them. And then there is a natural decline in that colony through illness. Some get due to prey or hit by cars and the natural decline of that colony. But it's important we keep the colony where it's at because then it prevents other cats from moving in. But if people have more of a focus on altering those cats, I know people sometimes have this sense that, well, it's a cat. I'm going to let it out. Why am I going to invest the money into this cat who's, you know, might not come back? But those are the cats that end up starting colonies and producing. So if we can help the community understand the importance of altering, we also have a low income program where if people cannot afford the full price to alter their pets, we have a certificate program to help them significantly reduce that cost. But they kill our birds. That's another. I know Chris is really big into the songbirds, and these feral cat colonies will reduce.
Devastate an area.
Yes.
If you don't hear the birds, it could be the feral cats.
Yes.
Well, great programs. And I know that the Panhandle Animal Shelter is a nonprofit. Donations are accepted. You have a great website, by the way.
Thank you.
And is there a donate button on the website?
There is. And there's also a donate button on our Facebook page. And I can't stress it enough that we're a nonprofit. We do get grant funding, but it's program based. So it's not to provide the general support that we need every single day to care for animals. And because we are an organization that literally has live creatures in our care every single day of the year, it is so important that people, if you have even the smallest donation, makes such a huge impact in our organization. Most of our donations are $20. It's not, you know, well, gosh, I can't give because I don't have $100. No, really anything. And it means the world to us because it's our job to make sure that these guys are cared for, and we need the funds to be able to ensure that we're able to provide that quality care.
It's quite an amazing program that you have, organization that you have. And Mandy, you're doing a great job. I know it's not done by yourself only. All these ideas and avenues to enhance the life of people and animals together comes from probably an active board of directors.
Yes.
Shout out, a thank you to them.
For sure.
For being involved. And volunteers. You have a volunteer program.
Yes.
I'm sure dogs need a lot of walking and you can't do it with just staff.
Yeah, and we have a new volunteer coordinator. Her name is Susan, and she's at that number, the 265-7297. And we're always looking for volunteers. We absolutely need volunteers in the sorting facility to help us get through those wonderful donations that we have. And shopping our thrift store is a big help as well.
Mm-hmm. I was surprised. $350,000 a year.
It's more like almost 400 now. It's about
is the revenue from the thrift store that's right next to the shelter. You can go and find that perfect outfit. And then if you don't have a cat or can't have a cat, you can go into the cat room and just get some cat energy.
Yes.
It's such a nice place.
And so the thrift store brings in just a little over half of our operating budget, but the remaining half has to be brought in somehow. And I know a lot of people will say that it should be an adoption revenue, but we really try to look at adoption revenue. That's not a revenue source for us. It does help offset the expense of having those pets in the shelter. But What we would rather do is have those have a lower price and move those pets into homes and not have price be a barrier.
Well, bravo to everyone involved. And Mandy, thank you so much for coming in and telling us all about the Panhandle Animal Shelter, the programs you're having. Don't forget to go to Sandpoint Ambassadog. Check out the dogs. Vote for one that catches your eye and or one of your favorite dogs in town. Good job.
Thank you
so much for coming in.
And thank you so much for having me. I will get in trouble by Maggie Faust if I don't mention that if you're a runner or a walker and your dog likes to do it as well. We have the 5K, Dover Bay 5K on September 25th.
And what's that called?
It's called the Dover Bay 5K. Oh, no, excuse me. It's the Dover Bay 5K9.
K9.
Yes.
So that's for dogs and owners to run in a 5K.
Yep.
It's in Dover Bay and it's September 25th. And all that information is on your website.
Yes,
and that is Panhandle Animal Shelter.
Nope. It's www.pasidaho.org.
So it's
Idaho
a nonprofit.
Is spelled out.
Amazing program. We're so fortunate. And thank you again, Mandy. We have a very little bit of time. I'm just going to mention that tomorrow on the KRFY Morning Show, you can tune in to the morning show at 8 with host Jim Healy, and I'll be there with Jim. We're going to showcase recently added music to the KRFY Music Library, a morning review of new music. That's for you tomorrow on the KRFY Morning Show at 8 at 88.5. And next week on the Wednesday show, Chris will be back, and we're going to have those organizers for the Euryades Village. It's an Ethiopian village. What is it called? It's an orphanage in Ethiopia, and they're based out of Sandpoint, and they really want to get the word out to Sandpoint listeners and Sandpoint residents to know about this. We can be their sister city here. And so we are going to go out with a song today. Well, we're not quite yep, we can do this. It's Tony Bennett's birthday. And guess how old he is, Mandy?
Oh, 82.
Well, he's actually 90.
Wow.
I know. He was born in 1926.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. But he's still singing. That's the good news. We love him. His voice is awesome. Tony Bennett. This is Tony Bennett and K.D. Lang singing What a Wonderful World. Have a great day. Thanks, Mandy.
Thank you.